It's Sean and Crystal Gail Mandoli. We're pastors of Hopeland Church, and you're listening to the Hopeland Church podcast.
We're really glad that you decided to join us today. Our prayer is that you encounter God and walk in new levels of freedom as a result of listening to this podcast. Enjoy the message today.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Hopeland Church. We are diving into the Word. All right. So, Father, we thank you for today, and we pray you speak to us, that Holy Spirit, you teach us through the written Word. And we thank you, Lord, for insight, understanding, and knowledge into who you are, God. Jesus, we thank you. God, we love you. And Holy Spirit, speak to us today. Reveal to us the depths of who you are, God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. All right, folks, scan the QR code for the sermon notes, or you can text the word sermon, okay? Text the word sermon to the number on the screen. And if you're just listening to this and you want the sermon notes, or you just want to get these sermon notes, we send them out weekly, so you'll literally get an email weekly. Sign up for the sermon notes. So text sermon to 323-405-3232, and you'll get the sermon notes. If you're watching this in real time currently, you're going to get them for this week, and then you'll get an email of them every week. Okay? Or you can just go in and get them. So just so you know, they're on the YouVersion Bible app. We have a page on there, Hopeland Church, so you can get them there. All right? So let's jump into the Word here. All right? And so here we go. This is kind of the big thought here, the main idea for today. We're in part four of Holy Spirit. My wife did an amazing job last week. Today we're going to talk about Holy Spirit outpouring. Okay, Holy Spirit outpouring. Okay, that's not necessarily a point per se. It's not trying, but it's kind of, maybe it's the main point. Okay, so Holy Spirit outpouring. And so as we see in the scripture, that God pours out his Spirit. Okay, and so we're going to look at this. We're going to look at the Old Testament. We're going to get into the New Testament. We're going to talk about what that means. What does that mean? What does it mean? The Holy Spirit being poured out, falling on us, filling us, okay? And so before I jump into Joel chapter 2, I just want to say next month, we're going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit. So we've really kind of, we're going through this whole process of, we talked about redemption and the blessings of the atonement, Jesus dying on the cross. And then this month, we're now into that was in February, March, the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to talk about what that means for us, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. As a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit, the gifts begin to operate. We're going to kind of touch on that today, which is really going to lead us into next month's series, which is on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay. And then we're also, during our in-person midweek Bible study in May, this is going to be in-person, we're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And so we're going to talk about gifts and fruit. And so if you want to learn about the gifts, you got to come on a Sunday, or obviously watch it on a Sunday, or anytime. That's our Sunday gatherings. But midweek, we're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit. So the month of May is all about the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. All right, here we go. Let's jump in. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit. Say it with me, say, pour out my Spirit. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. God is not biased. God is not prejudiced. God is not racist. He will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out of my Spirit in those days, not day, but days. If you look at this, God's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. He kind of just set the tone there. All nations, all people, all colors, all backgrounds, male, female, young, and old, I will pour out my Spirit. God is not generation specific. God is not man or woman specific. God is not nation specific. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. That's everybody. All right. Somebody say amen. And so here comes the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 7 to 18. Peter's just providing some clarity as to what just happened, and he's quoting Joel 2:28. And this is now Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost after the Holy Spirit fell. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. What God said he would do, he has done. All right. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Verse 18. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. All right. So prophecy. The definition of this word here is to speak by divine inspiration, to foretell or forthtell, or to tell forth. Okay, so it is divine inspiration, okay, to speak prophetically, scripturally speaking. You must be filled with, it's a result of the Holy Spirit. It's a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit, prophecy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, Joel said it specifically. I'll pour out my spirit, and my sons and daughters, your sons and daughters, he said, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Peter quoted it again, and then Peter ends it in verse 18, and he says it again. And they, not the super spiritual, not the pastor, not the bishop, you know, not the missionary, but who? Men servants, maid servants, old men, young men, daughters, sons shall prophesy. Hallelujah. All right. And so here we go. We're talking about the Holy Spirit outpouring, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Hallelujah. Here it is. This is a long point. But spiritual gifts, as we see this in the scripture here, just these two scriptures alone, and we're going to see some more, but these two alone, what does this tell us? And here's the point. Spiritual gifts are an immediate result of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's in the scripture, it says this. Like, I'm gonna pour out my spirit and people are gonna prophesy. Right? It's like, you know, people are going to speak by divine inspiration. Why? Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Why? The Holy Spirit coming. Okay? And prophecy means to foretell or to foretell. Prophecy can be thus and thus shall happen. Right? By the Spirit of God, can prophesy. Could also be to foretell, to say, to declare what God is going to do, to declare what somebody is going to walk into. So it's not just foretelling, it's telling forth. So it's both of those. They're both divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. But once again, spiritual gifts are an immediate result of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So we can't, I mean, in this here, folks, this is all post ascension. This is after Jesus was ascended. This is after the Holy Spirit has come. And gifts are the result of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. There it is. There it is. All right. Somebody say amen. Okay. So what does this tell us? What does this tell us? I'm going to give you 3 points. And these are all points. They're going to be up on the screen. I'm going to go fast. So it's going to be like boom, boom, boom. Okay. But what does this tell us? The Holy Spirit empowers us for life and ministry. The Holy Spirit empowers us for life and ministry. I mean, just in these verses alone, immediately speaking of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there's this activation of spiritual gifts, like very specifically. I'm going to pour out my spirit, and sons and daughters are going to prophesy. I'm going to pour out my spirit. Young men are going to see visions. Old men are going to dream dreams. I'm going to pour out my spirit on men and women here. It says, pour out of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What else does it tell us? It tells us this. The Holy Spirit graces us for purpose. Okay? This is divine purpose in the true sense, the biblical scriptural sense of purpose, of the why, the reason, the calling, the role. What am I called to do? What am I doing here on the planet? I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit graces us for purpose. That's what the outpouring of the Holy Spirit tells us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to say it a different way. What else does this tell us? That God will pour out a spirit. God has poured out a spirit in those days. Okay? Not just one day, but days. Last days. We are in the last days. God is pouring out his spirit and desires to continue to do it again and again and again. Hallelujah. We are not left to ourselves. We are not just part of some religious ritual program. But God is pouring out his spirit. What else does this tell us? It tells us that God is in the activating business. I mean, he's in the activating, the releasing, the going, the doing, the living out of ministry by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit tells us that God is in the activating business. He wants to activate us in purpose and activate us in what we're called to do, and act, and that the spiritual gifts that he's given us would be activated. God is in the activating business. God is in the activating business. All right. Acts chapter 10, verse 44 to 48. Hallelujah. Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's language used in scripture concerning outpouring. Okay. And Acts chapter 10 is when Peter received a vision from the Lord. God spoke to Cornelius, the centurion, and basically divinely connected these two, a Gentile and a Jew, and they got through Peter got through his whole process of resisting it, and God leads him to this man's house, goes into the house, preaches the gospel, and then we see this happening. So sometimes people equate, oh, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you know, it happened on Pentecost, like that moment, that event. We're not going to take anything away from that event. We're not saying there is, in a sense, like that was the day the Holy Spirit came. He has never left. He is here as God had promised. He's with us always, even to the end of the age. God will never leave us nor forsake us. But it's interesting that was Acts chapter 2, and now we're in Acts chapter 10, and something much like the day of Pentecost happened again, okay, in somebody's house, a gathering of some sort, right? You know, maybe you could look at it something like a home Bible study, right, kind of thing, right? It wasn't this big event, wasn't this big show. It was just somebody invited a minister into his house, okay? And here it goes. He's preaching the gospel, okay? He's preaching the word. And so Acts chapter 10, verse 44 says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell. Say that with me. Say, the Holy Spirit fell. The Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, okay? Now, Holy Spirit's already here. Holy Spirit's already filled Peter. Holy Spirit was, Peter was there on the day of Pentecost. He was speaking in tongues and preaching under the unction and the power and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But here is the Holy Spirit again in this particular house, specific to this particular people. And the scripture says the Holy Spirit fell. Okay? You know? And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. Okay? As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out. There's poured out again. So he was already poured out, but he's poured out again. So what's going on here? Okay. Poured out on the Gentiles also. And this word pour here in the Greek, it means to pour out liberally, to gush. So God is extravagant. I mean, he's not just giving you enough just to get by. It's just not in God's nature, okay? I understand the context of him giving us what we need. I understand that he doesn't always give us what we want. Somebody say amen, but he gives us what we need, right? So I'm not saying he satisfies our every, like just our every fleshly desire and whim, and we just get whatever we want. God is not a sugar daddy, right? He is our Father, and he loves us. But when he pours out his Spirit, it literally means liberally, to gush. It's not like, you know, it's like in God, there is no limitation. There is no bottom or, you know what I'm saying? He can't, in his nature, he can't be measured. He's immeasurable. He's inexhaustible. Understanding him intellectually is beyond it's past finding out, as the scripture says. But it says here, man, the gifts of the Spirit has been poured out. So God in his nature, in his very nature, we're talking about him now. We're talking about him, the Spirit of God. He is super abundant. All right, verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. There it is again. Instantly, gifts of the Spirit. Instantly, okay, gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? Hallelujah. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. They're like, man, let's keep this guy around here. So God is lavish. He lavishes his love, power, and grace on us by his Spirit. Okay? And so here's my point to this. Because he was poured out on the day of Pentecost, here in Acts chapter 10, you can also read this in Acts 8, Acts 19, where the Holy Spirit is poured out again. Okay? And so here's my point. He will fall on us again. Or maybe I should say it this way. He will fall on us again and again. All right? So just because the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost doesn't mean he won't manifest his power on us again and again. Okay, so there's a difference between God's omnipresence, meaning God is everywhere at all times. He's omnipresent. But he doesn't fall everywhere at all time. Let me say it a different way. There's a difference between God's God's omnipresence and his manifest presence. Can I get an amen, somebody? All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants to fall on us again and again. Okay. We don't seek encounters. We don't seek euphoric feelings. We don't seek events. We seek God, right? Like the video we posted recently, we were talking about be a God seeker, right? But God will pour out his Spirit in moments of our journey with him. He will pour out liberally, pour out his presence and his Spirit on us. Okay? In this case, it was in somebody's home, right? But people were gathered. We can and should believe God to be God, and that on our journey, hallelujah, we can be expectant that God is going to pour out his Spirit, that he's going to manifest himself. He's going to make himself known in a moment. And we're like, wow, God showed up. His presence was here. People got healed. People got delivered. People got saved. People were repentant and transformed. Like the Holy Spirit was poured out today, right? Those moments ought to be a reality of every Christian's journey. Hallelujah. It's in the Bible. Can I get an amen, somebody? All right. Hallelujah. Let's go to Acts chapter 4 now. I'm going to go to Acts chapter 4. And I'm going to read this. I'm going to read Acts 4, verse 1 to verse 4. And this is when the apostles were getting persecuted, okay, for preaching the gospel. So here we go. Acts 4, verse 1 to 4, it reads, now, as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, okay, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Okay, Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. They didn't want any of that going on. Verse 3, and they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day. For it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. So God is moving. The power of God is flowing. And here you go, people. You got Peter in the midst of this. Man, he's experienced the day of Pentecost, two chapters before this, power of the Holy Spirit. Man, people thought they were drunk. I mean, it was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then now they're getting detained, okay? They're because the authorities are disturbed by what they're preaching. They lay hands on them and they put them in custody. Okay, so in one moment, the power of God. Next moment, persecution. So it's kind of like, man, when you read Acts, it's a trip because there's great power, but there's also persecution. There was outpouring, but there was also imprisonment, right? It was both of these things happening in the early church. So Peter is being persecuted. He's in trial. He's in tribulation. He's in trouble. All right? This environment doesn't look like the day of Pentecost, which happened before this. It doesn't look like Cornelius' house, which is a powerful moment. Here's Peter in a trial, he's in trouble. Okay, the church is in trouble, like there's trouble, there's friction. And they start to question him and tell him what they can do and can't do, can't be preaching the name of Jesus around here. Acts chapter 4, verse 8, this is Peter's answer. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, starts to break it down. Man, we're gonna preach the gospel, right? And so here you see, look at trial, tribulation, and trouble. Do not take the Holy Spirit out of your life. We gotta be careful because we'll start to associate the Holy Spirit with just outpouring and not that he is actually within you through it all. Here it is. The Holy Spirit is not an event, and the Holy Spirit is not a feeling. He is a person. There are moments and times where he will be poured out, as we just talked about. And there are going to be moments and times where he is with you and in you, and he's filled you and empowered you to walk through trouble. And we got to be careful. Sometimes we can get off in our pursuit of God because we start to associate him, the Holy Spirit, with some type of event or moment or euphoric feeling. And here, Peter's filled. He's being confronted by the religious leaders. And he was still filled with the Holy Spirit. He was operating in the Holy Spirit. He's being obedient to God. And he was in a trial. And I just want to encourage you with this, that the Holy Spirit is not just equated to moments of outpouring. He is with you to fill you, grace you, and empower you through moments where there ain't no feels on the outside. Can I get an amen, somebody? Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it goes on. And he's preaching, man. And he says this. As he's preaching, he's not playing around. He's preaching the gospel. And he says to these guys, check this out. Nor is there salvation in any other. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. I mean, he put it out there. Everything they said not to do, he answered them with this. Okay, how was Peter able to do this? This man denied the Lord three times. He fell off. You know, he drifted. He forsook the Lord when the Lord was crucified on the cross. But here he is, though. Hold up. Wait a minute. He's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he is preaching the unadulterated truth of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. and he's not apologizing for any of it. Filled with the Holy Spirit in trial. Here's my next point. He makes us bold in and through trial. Okay? God just doesn't pour out for a moment. He walks with us through life. Hallelujah. He makes us bold in and through trial. Don't equate the Holy Spirit with the church gathering exclusively. Don't equate the Holy Spirit with the worship night. Don't just equate the Holy Spirit with an environment, an event. The Holy Spirit is with you to fill you, to empower you through trial, persecution, and trouble. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. So the Holy Spirit does not take away all persecution and trial. Can I get an amen, somebody? Some of these things we cause ourselves, right? It's our flesh that causes them. And some of them, it is the will of God to go through them. If anyone desires to live godly, he will suffer persecution. Okay? Count all joy when you face various trials. Okay? So the Holy Spirit does not take away all persecution and trial. The Holy Spirit will fill you and empower you in and through trial. Can I get an amen? The Holy Spirit's role isn't to make our life a euphoric existence or experience 24/7. Can I get an amen, somebody? The Holy Spirit is not to be treated like some fix, like some addiction fix. Okay? The Holy Spirit does not give you the giggles 24/7. If you're giggling and silly, calling it joy 24/7, that is not the Holy Spirit. That is you trying to make something like it's spiritual or the Holy Spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. Because we see in Acts, and we know by experience, people of God, that there are times when we must walk through the toughest and hardest of times and situations, but we are still filled with the Holy Spirit. We see that in Acts chapter 4. Come on, somebody. He is a person. And he's not just trying to douse us with a feeling. He wants to walk with us through life. We can't control or manipulate him. Come on, somebody. What do we do? How do we relate to the Holy Spirit? We submit, yield, and surrender to him. So they let them go. Okay, Acts 4. They let them go. And they go to this gathering where God's people were. And that God's people began to pray. They're tripping kind of. You know, tripping, I say that just paraphrasing. They prayed because they're like, man, we're getting some heat from the authorities now, right? This is serious. You know, this is like, could you imagine if me and Crystal Gale were detained for preaching the gospel? You know what I'm saying? We get out, we go to somebody's house and we start worshiping and like, man, what's happening? What's going to happen with Hope Land Church? You know what I mean? Like, think about this. Right? So let's go. I'm going to end with this verse. Acts chapter 4. We're in Acts 4 still, but verse 29. This is after God's people got together here. Here's Peter and the people and the church. And it says, now, Lord, they're praying. Now, Lord, look on their threats. They're threatening them. And grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Hallelujah. They may speak your word. Verse 30, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Look at this. You see this prayer? They're in persecution. They're in trial, but they are filled with the Holy Spirit. And they're like, Lord, help us to stay on track. Help us to stay on mission. Okay, verse 31 of Acts 4, it says, and when they had prayed, I'm telling you guys, people filled with the Holy Spirit are going to pray. All right, there's times I don't feel like praying. There's times I don't want to pray. There's times that, you know, we're just people, we're human beings with emotions and trouble and cares and concerns. And we get hit with all kind of stuff, anxieties and worries and frustrations and temptations. But here, look, verse 3, and when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Like, wait, same people. They've been filled already. Here they go getting filled again. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. I'm telling you right now, People are filled with the Holy Spirit. The fruit of it is boldness, folks. It is boldness. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is boldness. I will give you power to be a witness. Okay, once again, God is in the activating business. When the infilling of the Holy Spirit just isn't for an experience. It's for purpose. It's for the gospel. It's to be the light of the world. It's to be the salt of the earth. It's to be ambassadors for Christ. It's like the infilling of the Holy Spirit, it, as we see it here, it's like it comes with the grace and then the empowering from God to fulfill the assignment on our life. And so they're in the midst of some trouble here. Infilling of the Holy Spirit again. Maybe some of them were discouraged. Maybe, you know, it's like, wow, this is intense. And it's like in the persecution, God came again. It was like this fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit. It filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word with boldness. Boldness. So here it is, my last point. Trial plus prayer plus the Holy Spirit equals speaking the word with boldness. Okay? Outpouring the Holy Spirit. These moments, as we've seen happen multiple times in Acts, with the same people in these moments. Okay? God wants to do that for us. And I want to encourage you here, if you don't get anything else from this message, know that these two things, that God is going to continue to pour out his Spirit. And God desires, by the Holy Spirit, to walk with you through all the ups and downs of life. That is why the Holy Spirit is here, to empower us to be witnesses. Sean and Crystal Gale again. We hope you enjoyed the message, and our prayer is that you will change your world as a result of what you heard today.
And you know, if you're ever in the LA area, please join us for one of our weekend gatherings and check us out on our website at hopeandla.com.
Peace.